All right, here we go. Romans chapter 8. I have a sermon I want to give to you today. Don't get mad at me. Visitors, hang on. It'll sound more controversial at first, but you'll see where I'm headed before too long. It's called A Better Gift Than the Easter Bunny Gives. A Better Gift Than the Easter Bunny Gives. And today, all over the world, religious people are holding special services. They'll have sunrise services. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's the one time a year that most preachers get out of bed before the sun comes up. Most of them don't know that it's not a switch that you flip on, that it comes up real slow. All right? They'll have special holy services, and they'll have Easter egg hunts, and they'll have their brunches instead of having Sunday school or whatever they have. And by the way, not all these things are necessarily bad things. You say, are we going to have a sunrise service? I can't get you to Sunday school at 9:45. What makes you think you'll be here at 7 o'clock? Are you doing all right? Somebody rescue me here. Man, all right, I'll be here. Trust me. I was here long before the sun came up this morning. I was here at 5 o'clock this morning or shortly thereafter. And so it's not like the preacher couldn't get up and be here. But they have what they call Holy Week. And they have Maundy Thursday. You say, what's that mean? I don't know. It's Latin for something. They have Good Friday and Palm Sunday. And I laugh. I hate to tell you something. There's no such thing as Good Friday. Jesus wasn't crucified on a Friday. It is absolutely mathematically impossible for Jesus to have been crucified on Friday and resurrect on Sunday and have 3 days and three nights. Y'all understand that? It's totally impossible. And if you understand the Bible in the Hebrew calendar, he was crucified on a Wednesday and resurrected on Sunday morning. All right? And that's scripturally what it was. If you go to the website, look 2 years ago Easter, you'll find a sermon I preached called The Fallacy or the Wrong Doctrine of Good Friday. You'll enjoy it, all right? You say, well, what about Palm Sunday? What a wonderful day it was. Yeah, the people that threw the palm fronds down that Jesus entered into Jerusalem with were the same people 4 days later that were hollering, crucify him. It was the same crowd. So I think we just get ourselves so whacked out about holy days. According to Colossians chapter 2, all those holy days were fulfilled by Calvary and the resurrection. We don't need to have those anymore. But we'll get to that in just a second here, all right? By the way, did you know that at the resurrection, nobody actually saw it happen? We saw evidence of it. We knew that it did happen. But the resurrection wasn't on YouTube, it wasn't on television, it wasn't on Twitter, and it wasn't on Facebook, and it wasn't on the evening news. It was an event that took place, and it rattled the world, but they didn't actually see it take place. The resurrection had nothing to do with a rabbit that brings colored eggs to children. That was started by the Lutherans in Germany in the early 1700s. It has nothing to do with candy or chocolate. Praise the Lord. Maybe black jelly beans. I'm not sure. But, oh, my soul. Somebody gave me about a 3-pound bag of those a few weeks ago. I have one handful left. I've been parsing them out a little at a time. I like those things. I like Skittles, too. But past that, and by the way, I don't need another 3-pound bag, all right? Whew. Because it puts 6 pounds on. But I'm working it off as I put it in. Jesus being raised from the dead after being in the tomb for 3 days and three nights is what Easter is all about. Some will call it Resurrection Day. Some will call it Easter. I don't think either is a bad term. But I will tell you this. Thank God that it took place. Now, let me remind you, Mary Magdalene was the first to see that the event had taken place. There were soldiers that were guarding Jesus's tomb. And we say Mary Magdalene was. I have a feeling some of those soldiers actually were the first to discover it. They left to go tell the leadership. There was an earthquake. The stone rolled away. We went over to push it closed, and it's empty. The clothes are all folded up, and the body of Jesus isn't there. But Mary was the first recorded person in Scripture to have seen that it took place. She ran back and started telling Peter and James and John. They ran on ahead of her and ran in and saw the empty tomb. Now, I say that to say this. They saw that the stone had been rolled away. They saw the grave clothes folded. They saw the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they saw, this is something that you don't realize. Sometimes people don't use all of the Bible in preaching. But when Jesus resurrected from the dead, the graves of people that were saved before then, the Bible says that the graves were opened at Calvary. And at the resurrection, they got up and walked into town with Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but if I drove by the cemetery over here and about half of that cemetery had all the graves kicked open and the caskets were opened up for 3 days, it would be a little scary. But then after 3 days and three nights, if the people in those caskets got up and walked into town, I'm changing cities. I don't mean that unkindly, and I've been to a lot of funerals. And I tell every funeral director, that body sits up, I'm out of here. Lock that thing down, buddy. I'm not scared of a lot of things, but I want to make sure before they stick that thing in me to take my blood out and put the turpentine, or what do you call that, formaldehyde in. I want to make sure I'm actually dead before they do that, amen? You know, my wife's in the nursery. Honey, make sure that I'm actually gone before they do that, all right? Oh, my soul. Now, wait a minute. Jesus, there were many evidences of the resurrection. The graves opened, the Old Testament saints walking in. By the way, the word saint isn't a word brought to us by denominationalists. Doesn't mean that you have to have been dead so long, performed so many miracles, and had all these things take place. The word saint is someone who has died and gone to heaven. Everybody doing okay? We've listened to denominationalism way too long. Miss Loretta, your mama's a saint now. Now, Jimbo is not a saint right now. And what's this about Tweedles? You haven't been a saint either, have you? All right. Man, is she getting red. And with that white hair, you can really see it too. Wait a minute. A saint is someone who has died and gone to heaven, gone on before us. That's all it is. Brother Hiles is in heaven. He's a saint now. My grandparents are in heaven. They're saints. Some of you have lost children and loved ones. And if they're in heaven, they're saints. It has nothing to do with they had miracles. They live exemplary lives. It has nothing to do with that. But let me say this. Calvary did happen. They crucified Jesus. He was dead. You say, well, he fell into a swoon. Well, he may have fallen into a swoon, but when they took a sword and stuck it into his side and punctured his heart and water and blood came out, they made sure that he was dead. Just so you know. You don't go into a swoon with a sword stuck through your heart. Now, the sword did not kill him. He was already gone. He was already passed away. You say, well, the Bible says that the blood came out mingled with water. Yes, because it was proof of a broken heart. Jesus actually died of his heart rupturing for mankind, for our sins. And that heart exploded, and you have to understand something. The heart has very little blood in it when you die because it quits pumping. So for that sac to have been filled around your heart with water is normal, but it's not normal to have been filled with blood. And that means his heart exploded prior to his death. It had started breaking apart and pumping blood in that sac as well. so that when they pierced it, water and blood came out. Everybody understand that? All right, now hang in there for a moment with me. We're going somewhere. They posted soldiers on Jesus's grave to make sure that somebody didn't come and take his body. You say, why? Because it was predicted that after 3 days and three nights, he was resurrecting. They posted Roman soldiers, and there's a little speculation of how many. I've heard anywhere from 12 to upwards of 150 soldiers were placed around the grave and the cemetery to make sure nobody went in, nobody came out. It doesn't matter to me how many. I just know they were there. It won't matter if you can, well, I know exactly how many. God bless you. And it doesn't matter if it was one or 1,000. Amen. Either way, Jesus still conquered death. Didn't change the resurrection. Now, they saw the empty tomb. By the way, he not only left, but he folded up his grave clothes. He got up, unwrapped himself, folded everything up nice and neat, put him where he had been as an evidence of, it's okay, I only borrowed these. You can use them again for somebody else. Amen. By the way, it's not the Shroud of Turin either. Now, the resurrection happened in spite of all the world's preparations for it not to. The resurrection is a very important event. It was the completion of the gospel and the payment of our sin debt. Without the resurrection, there is no salvation. Let me show you what I mean. Man is a sinner. We're lost and on our way to hell. Before man sinned, before man was created because of the fall of Lucifer in heaven, Jesus looked at God and said, God, we're about to make man, but if he does the same thing the devil does, we need to have a plan for man to get back to you. And Jesus came up. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He authored the plan. He said, if they do sin, I'll go. I'll be born of a virgin. I'll live a sinless life on earth. Not only will I live a sinless life, I'll live a righteous life and give man enough righteousness to be restored with you and pay for his sin. But it'll require blood. I'll shed my blood, I'll die, I'll be buried, and I'll stay in the grave for 3 days and three nights to prove that I have been dead, and I'll conquer death, and I'll put my blood on the mercy seat here in heaven to seal man's salvation. That was the price that God paid for you. It was established before man was created. It says before the foundation of the world. Now watch this. I love this. Jesus, we know, in Bethlehem's manger was born of a virgin. By the way, Mary was not virgin born. Jesus was virgin born. Mary was a vessel. She was a body. The Holy Spirit conceived, seed in her supernaturally, and Jesus was born of Mary. The Bible doesn't say, blessed above women art thou. He says, blessed among women art thou. Mary's not any more holy than anybody else. Nobody. She was the body with which birthed the body of Jesus Christ. By the way, Joseph wasn't his father, God was. Say, why is that so important? Because the blood's transferred through the father. And God was his father, not Joseph. Jesus was born. He lived a sinless life. He lived a righteous life. And at Calvary, they crucified Jesus. He hung there on the cross. He shed his blood. By the way, Mr. MacArthur, it didn't trickle to the foot of the cross. It wasn't his death that brought salvation. It's the blood of Jesus. But it wasn't just the blood at Calvary. He spent 3 days and three nights in the tomb. And he got up out of the grave. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He grabbed the keys of death and hell while he was there and said, they're mine because I've conquered them. I have unlocked it for man and I've locked the devil out of them. And he resurrected. Mary saw him. If you remember, the story is she saw him supposing that he was the gardener. And when he spoke and he said, Mary, she said, oh, Rabboni, Master. And she went to touch him and to hug him. And he said, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to the Father. Say, why is that important? I'm about to shout. Let me show you why. In the Old Testament, the high priest once a year would offer the sacrifice for the sins of the nation for a whole year. It didn't save anybody. It was representative of what Jesus would do. And the high priest, once a year, would offer that sacrifice. He would wash in the laver. They would give him, they had to put that lamb up during Passover, watch that lamb, make sure it was perfect. Now, by that, it had to have all its teeth. It couldn't have any scars, couldn't have any cuts in it. It had to be a perfect lamb. You say, why? Because Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God. There was no blemish, no sin, no nothing in him. He was all righteous. And that high priest would take that lamb, and he would take a knife, and he would slit that lamb's throat and catch the blood in a basin. They would burn the sacrifice. That high priest would take that bowl and a hyssop weed with him. He would pass through the courtyard. He would go into the tabernacle or the temple. And he would pass through the table of showbread, the golden candlestick, the altar of incense. There was a veil there. He would go under the veil. He would go into a place called the Holy of Holies. He was only allowed in there one time a year with that sacrifice. If he did not do it exactly the way God said, God would kill him. Now watch this. If he were touched from the time he washed at the laver until the blood was put on the mercy seat, if he were touched by any human being, he had to start all over, or if he went in there, God would kill him. He was not to be touched by human beings because man is sinful. Now watch this. He would go in there. He would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. The Shekinah glory of God would come down and hover over the mercy seat. And God's presence would dwell there, signifying salvation was settled for another year. Well, Jesus at Calvary was the Lamb of God. He was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. God allowed Jesus Christ to shed his blood, but hold on there. He wasn't just our lamb. He was our high priest. After the order of Melchizedek, not the earthly priesthood, but God's priesthood. And he had to take the blood and put it on the mercy seat for salvation to be clear. Wait a minute. For 3 days and three nights, he was in the grave. He got up out of the grave. Watch this. When he resurrected, he showed himself to Mary, and she was about to touch him. And he said, don't touch me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. He said, you go tell the disciples, I'll meet you back. Say, what was taking place? He was going to leave earth, go to heaven, go to the real mercy seat that is in heaven. According to the book of Hebrews, there's one in heaven. It is the throne of God, I believe. And he was going to put his blood on the mercy seat. He sprinkled his own blood on the mercy seat and said, Father, it's finished. Amen. Salvation is complete. The blood didn't trickle to the foot of the cross, and that's it. It's not the blood on the ground. It's the blood on the mercy seat. Yes, right. At Passover in Egypt, had the Jews only sacrificed the lamb and they didn't put the blood on the doorposts and lintels, they would die. It wasn't the shed blood, it was the applied blood that saved them. May I tell you this, it's not the shed blood, it's the applied blood. Huh. Then Jesus came back and met them in the upper room. And he was with them. Now, he died as our lamb. He resurrected as our high priest. That's why we don't have the eternal priesthood through man anymore. Jesus fulfilled it all. That's why he rent the veil in the temple from top to bottom at Calvary when he died. The veil was broken between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, signifying we didn't need it anymore because Jesus fulfilled it all. Amen. That's what the resurrection brought us. But there's a gift that God left for us through the resurrection. Now I realize it's part of our salvation. But let me tell you this, he left us a gift as a part of this that to me is amazing. Let me show you what I mean. There's a special gift with the resurrection. Those who get saved get this gift. You say, what is it, the gift? Oh, I got a gift. What's your spiritual gift? People are weird these days. Well, I got this gift. I know a lot of people have the gift of gab. You'll catch that by slow freight, all right? I got the gift of tongues. No, those have all been done away. And by the way, biblical tongues is speaking in an intelligent language so somebody else can get saved. Brother Stoltz, you speak Spanish. Get up here. Say good morning, everyone.
Buenos días a todos.
Romans 3:23. For all have sinned.
Por cuanto todos pecaron.
And come short of the glory of God.
Y están destituidos de la gloria de Dios.
That is the gift of tongues. It's not standing up here jibber jabbering, flipping on the floor like a fish out of water, saying, I got it, and nobody understands it, including me. That's weird. God is not the author of confusion. It is so people can get the gospel in their language. My secretary does sign language, and no, I'm not going to have her come up here and do it. But she understands sign language, and she can speak to people in the deaf language. Bob, you know sign language, some of it. Some of them we're not allowed to use in church. Now, wait a minute. That gift of sign language is the ability to communicate with somebody to get them the gospel. It's not a proof that you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, wait a minute. The moment somebody gets saved, God gives you a gift. Not just salvation, but he leaves you a gift called the Holy Spirit of God. The gift of the resurrection that's greater than the Easter Bunny can give you is called the Holy Spirit. Now, let me give you three thoughts and we'll be done quickly. Number one, the resurrection was proof that Jesus could complete our salvation. The resurrection was proof that Jesus could and did complete our salvation. Can I tell you something? Muhammad never got out of the grave. Buddha didn't get his fat belly out of the grave. And there's nothing wrong with fat bellies, necessarily. I'm trying to convince my wife of that. Let's see. Allah never got out of the grave. Joseph Smith never got out of the grave. I don't care what God, Zeus, never got out of the grave. He didn't even get born, let alone get out of the grave. You have to understand something. To be able to conquer death, Jesus is the only one to have done it. See, man is just like God. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Man is a body, a soul, and a spirit. But man that is lost is just body and soul, and his spirit is dead. That's why in John chapter 3, when Jesus looked at Nicodemus and he said, you must be born again. He said, how can I be born again? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? My mama's sitting back there. She doesn't want me crawling back in to go through that again, especially at this size. It's bad enough when I was 7 pounds and some odd ounces. None of your business how big I am now. But in excess of 160 pounds, she doesn't want to go through that again. Say, why? Well, number one, I'm not real excited about that thought either. But number two, it's impossible. And Jesus said, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the spirit, small s, is spirit, capital S. That's what being born again is. The moment you go from trusting yourself to get you to heaven to trusting what Jesus Christ did and that alone to take you to heaven, you're born again.
That's right.
You're conceived, and the Holy Spirit rebirths your spirit, and your spirit becomes alive. We read in Romans chapter 8 the word quicken. He will quicken your spirit, quicken your mortal body. The word quicken doesn't mean make it faster. The word quicken means to give life. It actually means it gives life or breathes life into something. Can I tell you something? The moment you got saved, the eternal Holy Spirit of God moved into you and sealed your salvation for eternity. Did you know at age 48, almost 49, I can't be unborn? I can never be unborn of my mom and my dad. Now, that doesn't mean I'm always going to make them proud, but I can't be unborn. Little Wyatt down here, 3-year-old, he can't be unborn. And his mama's really glad. Sometimes she'd like to take him out. But can I tell you something? You can't be unborn. And when you get saved, you can't be unborn. You might lose favor with your parents, but you can't be unborn. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Now hang in there. Jesus is the only one that conquered death on his own. Confucius didn't, Buddha, Muhammad, Allah, Joseph Smith, you name them. None of them conquered death except Jesus. Jesus is the only one that bodily resurrected from the grave. The only one. Now, number two, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit rebirths your spirit and the Holy Spirit moves in. I'm not going to criticize anybody's theology, but often we'll say, well, when you get saved, Jesus moves into your heart. Technically, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. You don't have a person living inside here, just so you know, as far as Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit inside there, but you don't have Jesus. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He gave the Holy Spirit to all of us who get saved, though. Now watch this. That's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Our charismatic friends, they'll tell you, oh, you got to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you something? The moment you realized you're a sinner on your way to hell and you couldn't pay your own sin debt and you trusted Jesus Christ to save you, you were indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Say, why? Because you got saved, and when you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in, and just like being born, you can't be unborn. And the Holy Spirit brought life to you. It brought your dead spirit back to life. And you're now alive. And the Holy Spirit now lives inside you. And every person that's gotten saved has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean you're led by the Spirit, but it does mean you have the Spirit in you. It's like going to the buffet. If you eat everything at the buffet, something's wrong. You go there and pick what you want. Now, I know I'm going to separate wheat and tares here, but I'm not eating any of those nasty greens. They boil them things and put vinegar in them, and oh, my soul, God bless y'all. I spent 5 years in Charleston, South Carolina. Oh, you got to have greens. I walked into the, you can smell them a mile down the road. Mustard greens, collard greens, you name the green, they had weeds. I'm in certain parts of South Carolina, you're not sure what green was in there, but it had funny leaves, amen? Now, wait a minute. I walked into this house and I was trying to be nice. This lady says, you got to try mine. They are the best in town. I took a forkful of those things and started chewing on them and they kept growing in my mouth. I couldn't hardly get them swallowed. She said, aren't those great? I said, God bless you, but I've had enough. I'm full. I cannot eat those things. I just don't boil them. I'll eat them raw, but don't boil them nasty things. So you'll eat them raw? I'll eat them raw before I eat them cooked. But I like eating peas. My mama tell you, I got my dad whooped me. The worst whooping I ever got was for peas. Say, why? Because mom boiled them nasty things and they look like a rabbit that you squeezed. Dug it out of the yard and it turned green. And it didn't taste much better, I suppose. I don't know what the rabbit tastes like. But it can't taste any worse than those boiled peas. Say, why'd your dad beat you? Because we had cushions on the chair and I had to sit there and make sure everything was off the plate before I got up to play and everybody else had been gone, dishes cleaned up. And I thought, I'm ready to go play, but I am not putting them things in the pie hole. So when nobody was looking, I lifted up the cushion, put them under, and said, I'll come back later and clean them up. Well, I got to play and then forgot about them. About 2 days later, I came home. My dad said, "You remember when we had peas the other night?" Boy, the sweat broke it real fast. Amen. "Yes, sir. Did you eat them all?" Now, you already know you're going to get beat. You just got to decide, are you going to get beat for lying too? I don't remember if I told the truth or not. I don't think I did. "Well, yeah." And then he lifted up the cushion on the chair. Man, I got the whooping that one of the few whoopings I ever remember. 40 some years later, I still remember it. Amen. Now I'll eat peas on my salad, but don't cook those nasty things. Amen. But I did learn how to swallow them whole. Say why? Because I had them again. I think we had them that night. Just to spite me, I think. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I didn't make my mama and daddy really happy that day, but I didn't stop being their child. Matter of fact, I got a whooping for it. You say, "I don't think your parents should have done that. They warped your psyche." Dad didn't call it a psyche, but he warped it. He had another name for it. See him and ask him what it was. But it was a board of education meeting on the seat of knowledge. Amen. And I wasn't real bright, but I did learn fast. Now, wait a minute. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. You get a spiritual life. Say, how can our world get any worse? Because man's acting worse than an animal because he has a dead spirit, not a no spirit. We're acting like animals in our world because we have people running around that hate God that aren't saved, and they're acting as bad or worse than animals. It should not surprise us. Everybody doing all right? Number three, and I'll hurry. Here's the gift. Number three, the Holy Spirit is the one who gave Jesus the power and the ability to conquer death and to resurrect from the dead. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8, where we are, and I want you to notice something. Look at verse number 11. But if the Spirit, notice that Spirit is capitalized. That's a proper noun. But if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Can I tell you something? The moment you get saved, the same Holy Spirit that resurrected Jesus out of the grave moved into you, Bob. And that means this, the same power it took to resurrect Jesus from the dead, you have available to you because you have the same Holy Spirit of God. God gave you the Holy Spirit to guide you and to help you and give you the power necessary to do the things that Jesus did while He was here on earth. Jesus was God in the flesh, but He was also in a human flesh like you and I, facing the same temptations you and I face. Difference is, He listened to the Holy Spirit. He followed the Holy Spirit. He listened to the Word of God. He followed the Word of God, and we disobey. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. That means He was tempted with the same things you're tempted with, but He did it without sinning. Can you imagine being one of Jesus' brothers or sisters? Jesus did it. Mary and Joseph already knew He was God in the flesh. You couldn't blame Him. As soon as you said that, you were getting a whooping because they knew better. Amen. It was always my brother's fault. Well, most always. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But can you imagine growing up with Jesus in your family or in the classroom? Good night. The guy that never told a lie. The guy that always told the truth. Now, wait a minute. God gives us the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus out of the grave. The gift of salvation is great, but not only is the gift of salvation great, he says, I'll leave you another gift, and that's the Holy Spirit living inside you. I'm going to leave you the same power available to you that resurrected Jesus out of the grave. That's why Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10 says, well, take your Bible, turn to Philippians 3:10. Oof, somebody shoot that clock. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Wow. That I may know him and the power of the resurrection. Did you know that if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the same power available to you that it took to resurrect Jesus from the grave?
Amen.
Say, how do you know that, preacher? Because when Jesus comes back at the rapture, everybody who's ever been saved and that is saved is going to resurrect off this ground. Say, why? Because the Holy Spirit dwelled inside this old flesh. Now, wait a minute. Miss Loretta, your mama's in heaven. But when the rapture takes place, her body, that grave's going to kick open. She's going to go up, and her spiritual body will be remet with her new earthly body. Say, well, why are the graves going to kick open? To show the lost world what Jesus did. Just like his grave was opened. It is a proof that Jesus did do what he said he would do. Did you ever notice they're starting to blame more and more Christians for all the bad taking place? This is why you don't need Mother Mary and pray through Mary to get closer to God. The Bible says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I don't care how many Hail Marys you say, or St. Christopher, or St. Michael, or Holy Father, or Holy Cows you say. It doesn't matter who you think you can. Well, if you pray through Mary, that's God's mother, and he'll have to listen to her. That makes Mary above God. And she's not the mother of God. She birthed the body of Jesus, but she is not the mother of God. Am I doing all right? I don't think you ought to say that. Okay, don't. I will. We don't need to pray through the saints. It's when the saints go marching in, not when the saints we get praying through. Amen. I don't need a little St. Michael bobblehead on my dashboard to protect me or whatever it is. I was an ornery teenager. I got aggressive. When I finally gave my life to God, I got aggressive, and I was a soul winner as a teenager. My pastor, God bless him, Brother Dykes, was 6'4", 240 pounds. He was not a small creature. When I was 13, 14 years old, I was probably 5'4", and may have weighed 90 pounds on a good day. And that's if I had my tracks in my pocket and bananas and weights on my ankles, amen? You talk about a puny little nothing, that was me. Now I'm a big nothing. But I got this idea. Central Catholic Church was probably from here to Shockey Boulevard from our church. They had this giant statue of Jesus with long hair and a robe with his hands out like this, poised on the front property. And they had a Mother Mary on the ground next to it. Shoot. Me and one of the preacher's boys, we went down there. We were out soul winning. I said, Trent, let's do it. We went and got some tape. We plastered Mother Mary with gospel tracts. And as far up as we could reach on Jesus. Well, it wasn't but a couple days later, and the phone rang, and the preacher called for me. My mom said, preacher wants to talk to you. I said, me? I said, yeah, okay. I didn't think I did anything wrong. I said, yeah, Brother Dykes, 6'4", 240 pounds, and he had a deep voice. Greg, this is Brother Dykes. Yes, sir? He said, did you happen to be near Central Catholic and put tracks on some of their things the other day? Yes, sir? I got excited about it. He wasn't quite as excited as I was. He said, Father so-and-so called him, and he said, Greg, now, I don't want to squelch your excitement. I'm for you telling everybody. He said, but that probably wasn't the best thing to do. He said, next time, don't use the ones with my picture on it. Oops. Lesson learned. Ugh. Say, you shouldn't have done that. At least I know they were watching. Now, wait a minute. You're right. I probably shouldn't have done it. I didn't have any better sense. I just wanted to get the gospel out. Can I tell you something? They thought I had violated their holy things. Easter's not a holy day. According to Colossians chapter 2, all the holy days were nailed to the cross because Jesus fulfilled them all. This is why we don't need a priest or a preacher or a pope to go through. Because Jesus, we have direct access to him because he died as our lamb, resurrected as our high priest, and made us all priests with him after you get saved.
Praise God.
Hang in there. Did you know? Listen to this statement. There is no other religion in the world that has its leader who promises to leave a part of himself in the believers. Not one. God's the only one that says, if you get saved, I'll leave you the Holy Spirit. The Muslims don't get Muhammad living inside them. They're just promised if somebody says something against Allah, that they're to go kill him, and then they'll be there with 72 virgins. I can tell you how stupid that is. 72 mother-in-laws is not the way to go. That's not heaven. That's the other place, amen? 72 wives. One's hard enough. Why complicate it 71 times more? Good night. You know, the Hindus believe that you can come back and you'll indwell a cow. And we shouldn't eat the holy cow because that could be grandpa or grandma or great grandpa or great grandma or great 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 grandpa. Good night. I don't want to come back as a cow. Did you know Confucius say, I'm not going to come back and sit on a mountain somewhere with my arms folded on my belly, just sitting there forever thinking. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Or come back as some kind of bug. Yeah. I don't know how many people's relatives I've squashed, but every one of them I can, I'll squash them. And I think it's the lost people come back as stink bugs. Them things are hard to kill. By the way, no other God promises a part of himself living inside of you. But Jehovah God did. Jehovah God did. The other false religions, and by the way, I'm not trying to make fun of them. I'm just trying to show you what God said. I'm not angry. I think they all need the gospel. I'm for them getting the gospel. I'll do everything I can to get them the gospel. But why is it that they have freedom of their religion and yet our rights are being infringed? You know, I'll fight for the right for the Jehovah's false witnesses and the Mormons to go door to door. Because if they lose their right, I lose mine. My goal is to knock on more doors than theirs and get more people to listen to the gospel than listen to their trash. But I'll fight for their right to do it. You know, I prayed for the three young Mormon missionaries that got caught in the bombing in Brussels. I prayed for their health. Now, I disagree with their doctrine, but I'm not for anybody hurting. Are they doing okay? By the way, it happened in the name of religion. ISIS is a religious organization, not a political organization. I don't care how many politicians tell you that the Muslim religion is peaceful, it's not peaceful. Their own Quran tells them that if somebody goes against Allah, it's your job as a Muslim to commit jihad and kill them. That's not peace. So when we get saved, that's why being at church is important. That's why being at Sunday school is important. That's why reading the book, the only book God ever wrote, is important. That's why hearing it preached is so important. You know, I'm pastor of this church, and I listen to preaching almost every day of my life. Say why? Because I'm married. I mean, I do. I listen to preachers every day of my life. And it's not on Christian radio either, because I don't call that preaching most of the time. It's pussyfooting and mealy-mouth stuff. Now, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit's inside you. And learning to listen to him and learning to follow him comes, by the way, he'll only work with that book right there. Did you know the Holy Spirit won't go against what that book says? Because these are God's words. And for the Holy Spirit to guide you against what that book says, it's not the Holy Spirit. That's why God said, try the spirits to see if they're of God or not. How do you try them? You read that book and make sure they fall in line there. Everybody doing okay? When you get advice outside that book that tells you to do something contrary to that book, it's not spiritual, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's man. According to the Bible, Jesus did all that he did on the earth as a spirit-filled man. I'll say it this way. He was our second Adam. Adam was created without sin. Adam fell, but Jesus didn't fall. According to Romans chapter 5, he is the second Adam. Now watch this. I love this. He fulfilled what Adam was supposed to do. He didn't live an unnormal human life. He lived the human life God intended for all of us to live. It wasn't a supernatural life. It was the life God wanted all of us to live. And because we blew it, Jesus came and lived it for us so that we could have it in heaven someday. That means this. Number one, if you're not saved today, you need to get saved. Number two, after we get saved, we should be baptized. Has absolutely nothing to do with going to heaven. If I take my wedding ring off, I'm still married. People know I'm married because I wear it. That's all baptism is. It's a picture of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's why our baptistry's right there. By the way, it's not sprinkling, it's not pouring, and it's not spitting. You can't get buried with a sprinkle. You got to be buried as a picture of the burial and the resurrection. You say, what's it for? It's an act of obedience. I believe if you're saved and you've been baptized, you ought to join a church. I think you ought to join a local church, be a part of it, and get involved. And I believe that you ought to live in the Spirit. I think you ought to be faithful. I think you ought to read your Bible. I think you ought to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. I think you ought to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. And he'll guide you through this book and through godly advice and godly people. The Easter Bunny left all kinds of hard-boiled colored eggs. Candy eggs, candy rabbits. I was driving to work at a little before 5 this morning and coming down Needy Road, and somebody had wiped out the Easter Bunny all over the center line. I thought he didn't make it home before daylight, amen? Somebody got him. He was a little wider and a little thinner than he was when he started. Can I tell you something? God left us something with the resurrection more powerful than the Easter Bunny. He gave us the Holy Spirit of God. And he wants you to have that and enjoy his power. By the way, you have the same power available to you that resurrected Jesus from the grave. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who would say, preacher, I won't lie to you. But if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I've trusted Christ. I've been saved, and I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure. I won't call you out. I won't call your name. Is there one that would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, I needed that truth. I needed that truth about the Holy Spirit today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores and scores of hands. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the music will begin to play. When the music begins to play, if you raised your hand, you come here to the altar. If you've been saved, never baptized, we can take care of it today. If you'd like to join this church, we can talk to you about it and take care of it today.